Lifach, I want to thank all of the sponsors. I want to thank the Chavayim for setting up and taking care and making all the arrangements. I want to thank Yaakov Hagler. Yaakov, you're over there. I don't have my glasses, right? That's okay. We go back a long way, and it means a lot. It means a lot to me personally and to all of us that Yaakov has been the one to lead us into these days. And we should continue to do that mission for many more years in Yerushalayim. The Navi Hosea was crying about the difficulties in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's been a struggle. And whether or not it actually happened or it didn't happen, it's a marshal. But we know that in the Navi Hosea, Am Yisrael is compared to an unfaithful woman, an unfaithful wife. And in the second parak, the Navi says, Elcha v'ashuva el ishi harisha, ki toiv li oz me'ata. That after perhaps years of unfaithfulness, of straying, the woman finally comes to the realization that Elcha v'ashuva el ishi harisha, the time has come for me to return to my husband, to my first, to my beloved. Ki toiv li oz me'ata, because things were better back then they are now. See, here we are. See, here we are. Another year of straying. Another year of looking elsewhere. In many, many ways, each and every one of us. And here we are, Slichus. Returning to Hashem's door, returning to Hashem's gate. And for 20 years, I've started with the pasuk from David Malki Mashiach, Oimdais Hayur Aglaini B'Sharach Yerushalayim, that our feet are standing in the gates, at the gates of Yerushalayim. That in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, this time, Slichus, this Matzei Shabbos, is called Sha'arayach Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim. We're about to enter into the city of Yerushalayim. And the journey Mitzvah Hashem will take us to the Kodesh Kadoshim, to Ne'ilah, and then to the joy of Sukkot, Ne'azara, and the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and the Yichud of Shemini Atzeres. But the pasuk says Sha'arayach Yerushalayim, and all of us know, and many of us have been zeichet to be there, that there are many gates. It's not one gate. There are many gates. So I want to speak about one gate, and I want to talk about something very, very simple. This is not a time for a shiur. I intentionally started a little bit later. Slichus, we can't say before Chatzos. I start a little bit later. I saw last year it was a little bit hard for many of you to go for an hour at this time of the night. A little hesoros about one of the gates of Yerushalayim. At this time of the year, one of the Sfarim that I spend a lot of time with is the Yesod V'Sharish HaAvayda. I'm sure there are others as well. Time of Dvaira, Yesod V'Sharish HaAvayda. These are the Sfarim of Elul and Tishrei. In the Yesod V'Sharish HaAvayda, the Tzaddik has a remarkable hagdara, a definition of the month that we're now concluding, the month of Elul, crossing over into Tishrei. He brings the Zohar Chadash, Kiseitzei, that I know many of you have heard. There the Torah is talking about the woman who is taken captive in war, the Ishi Yifas Toyer. And the Torah tells us, Uvachsa es aviyah ves ima yerach yom, that she cries over her parents. She misses her parents. She's been taken from her family. Uvachsa es aviyah ves ima yerach yom, for a month she continues to cry. And the Zohar Chodesh says, "Uvoksas aviv esima yarech yomim, dohu yarcha de'elu." Dohu yarcha de'elu, that this is referring to the month of Elul. Uvoksas aviv esima yarech yomim, and she cries for a month. Do yarcha de'elu is the month of Elul. And the Yesod V'Sharish HaAvayda is explaining why is it that he calls the chapter, the section of his Sefer on the month of Elul, why does he call it Shar HaMayim, the gate of water, Shar HaMayim. In the Yesod V'Sharish HaAvayda, as you know, every section is a different Shar, as in many other Sfarim. Each Shar has a name. And the Shar of Elul, which leads us into Rosh Hashanah, Slichas Rosh Hashanah, the Shar is called Shar HaMayim. It's the 10th Shar of the Sefer, which is itself significant. And he explains, he brings this Zohar Chadash, Uvachsas Aviyah V'Esima Yerach Yamim, the crying of the lonely woman. For a month is Elul, and he writes, "V'shoyvchim lev kamayim noichak pnei Hashem." That during this time of the year, we pour our hearts out like water before Hashem. We cry, "Lahato is mishpat gever mate klapi chesed," and through our tears, through the mayim of shivchi kamayim libe, through those tears, we are hoping that we will be able to bring the Midas Adin, to bring it over to the side of loving kindness, of Hashem's chesed. Kivo moed yom Hashem, because the day of Hashem is soon going to be. Kikarov, it's close, Rosh Hashanah. Upal gemayim teired einav. And the eyes of a Jew are flowing with tears at this time of the year. Mayim ne'emanim. The water, the tears of faithfulness that are a sign of our faithfulness. And mayim ne'emanim, meaning on a simple level, that the tears continue to flow. Mayim ne'emanim. So I thought this was remarkable. I've learned this every year for many, many years. I've never thought about it. But he doesn't call Elul the month of tshuva. He calls it the month of tears, the Shar HaMayim, the gate of tears of water. But you and I know, and many here have experienced this, lo aleinu, that at the end of the year there are cheshbonos. There are cheshbonos of mi ba'esh and mi ba'mayim. I don't know if any study was ever made, but there are a lot of things that happen at the end of the year. Apparently there were Jews that were given the entire year to remain in the world. And then at the end of the year, they brought back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Cheshbon is cleared. Last Motzei Shabbos, we found out the shocking news of the death of a beautiful child. It's actually a karev of ours through Binyamin. And there's no shortage of Jewish tears. I know it seems like it's every month, but I always feel that in particular at the end of the year, the Shar HaMayim, the gate of tears is open. But they're the tears that we cry as a result of Tzaros L'Aleinu. But here, the Yisoid V'Shorash HaVayda, the Zohar Chodesh, is talking about different tears. Uvachses Arviya Ves Ima Yerach Yom. The crying of a month, the Ari HaKadosh tells us, as Aviya ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ves Ima ze Knesset Yisrael. That means we're crying because over the course of this year, we have grown distant from the Master of the Universe. Our Father is Hashem Yisbaruch. And over the course of the year, the Knesset Yisrael, the Mother is Knesset Yisrael, that there's so many machloikis in between Jews, so many disagreements, such bad feelings between people. So Avach says, Aviyah Bez Ima Yerach Yomim, the month of crying, the Shar HaMayim, the Yarchad the Elul is Aviyah Zekadosh Baruch Hu, and Ima is Knesset Yisrael. And it means that inside of us at this time, there should be a feeling of longing. Longing that leads to tears of longing. Tears also of anguish over a year where we were unfaithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. And we left him. Ishi HaRishayin, our husband, our father. That we strayed, we've been unfaithful. And Ima's Knesset Yisrael were being so far removed from each other. Homes where parents and children are divided, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. The Tzara that's in Eretz Yisrael, we were talking a lot about on Tisha B'Av, the sinner on the streets and the shuls and the yeshivas. We're living in a world where there are Hasidic Rebbes, descendants of great, great, great tzaddikim who we were zeichet to see with our eyes, who can't sit together at the same table. Now we know that in earlier generations, and we have descriptions, and I heard from my father's Olgzon Zayin and from other Jews who lived and who are alive with us, Baruch Hashem, and should remain for many years, that there was a time that simple Jews were crying and sobbing throughout this month. But for people like us, it's very hard to imagine what that's like. So we need to understand what is our Shar HaMayim. Now we're going to begin Slichas in a few minutes. But the first Slicha, Eich Niftach Pele Fonecha Dar Mesuchem. How can we even open our mouth? Before you, Hashem, Dar Mesuchim, the Shechina that covers all existence, how can we even open our mouths? Be'elu ponim nishpeich sichem. Be'ez upon them, how can we begin to daven? Be'ez upon them, how can we even show our faces? Lishpeich sichem, to begin this time of pouring out tefillahs, davening and davening. Be'ez upon it means that it's an unbelievable chutzpah. And it's an azaz upon them beyond anything that would be considered decent. That we're back again at Hashem's gate asking for mechila, for forgiveness. You and I know the truth that every year we go through this, and Hashem Shabbat wants us to, and we mechazik ourselves to come back. And every year, we ask Hashem to forgive us, and we make all kinds of promises, even on simple things, even most basic kabbalas that we accept upon ourselves to make some adjustments, changes in our lives. And how we ignore these promises, how we fail to live up to our expectations of ourselves last Yom Kippur. So how can we bechlal? That's what the Slicha is asking. Ech niftach pele fenech adar mesuchim. Be'elu ponim nishpeh sichim. How can we bechlal come to you again? And yet it must be that if Hashem Yisbarach is calling out to us and He's telling us, Dishu Hashem Behimatzai, Krauhu Behayosei Karav, and He's coming out to the field to see us, to greet us with a smiling lichlig upon Him, it means that we have a Pischen Peh. Now what's the power of Shar HaMayim? And then we'll try to understand what the Shar HaMayim is on our Madrega. So marshal of a poor person knocking on a door. We live in an area that's considered to be relatively affluent, and there's no shortage of Mishalachim who come around during the week on Sunday. So there's a certain kind of an ani. There's a certain type of an arman of a poor person who comes to the door. We open the door and he's standing at the gate of our homes. Very often it's a person that we recognize. I've met them in Yerushalayim also. I've met them on the plane. Sometimes in Miami when I visit my parents. We're old friends. And the person stands at the gate, molei busha uchlima, but he's proud, filled with embarrassment and shame, that he is here again. And he begins to tell the ma'isa. And we don't always remember, is it Achnos Eskala? Is it he has to pay chayvus that he owes for many, many years? He opened a kollel someplace and he got buried in the chayvus. He bought an apartment, he hasn't paid. It's sad. But when we stand there and we look at this person who's filled with shame, We remember that we've heard this story of something similar. And we listen to him for a minute or two. We become impatient. Some people are more patient. And listen to the ani, to the poor man or woman, who's explaining how did he come to this matzav, what happened to him. So the balabas usually will give him something. Sometimes it'll be $1, sometimes $5. If it's a person that has more to give, you can give $10. Sometimes he says, you know, he was just here 2 weeks ago, and he's doichim, he pushes him away. But sometimes you have, and this has happened to us, sometimes you have a person who comes to the gate of your home, who comes to the shower, to the door, and something so horrible has happened to him. I'm not talking about an actor, it's real. Something so terrible has happened that he's not even able to speak, he just is crying. I was at a shiva this past week, lo aleinu, and the one who was sitting shiva really couldn't talk, he was just crying. When that happens, the heart of the balabas is ripped open. And he listens and he tries to do better. Until finally the person can try to articulate some feelings, what's happened to him, to talk to you. So it is, we come every single year back to Hashem's door. And we knock on the door and we ask the Rebbeinu Shlomo to give us a loan, Rebbeinu Shlomo, another year of life. And we come with a whole list of requests for those, all the people that we love, and all of Am Yisrael, and different things that we need. And Bonei Chaim is only we ask for another year alone. And we promise this year, Rebbeinu Shlomo, you see this year, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to pay you back with so much learning and so much real davening and proper brachas and shmiras einayim and shmiras hapeh. I'm taking on me this. I'm going to be better to my wife. I'll be better to my husband. I'll be better to the children. I'll be more God-fearing. I'll have more Yerush Shemayim. I'll be more careful with what I look at. Sometimes there's the Sharamayim. And the Sharamayim opens up and the person stands at that gate of the Sharamayim, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at him in the face and the person just begins to cry. The busha and the chlima of all the promises we make every year and we fail, and we fail to keep. That is what the Yisoid V'Sharash HaVayit is referring to, the Shar HaMayim. The old machzorim that some of you might have from parents or grandparents, where the pages are all crinkled, not from age, but from tears. But the machzorim are stained with Jewish tears. Now we don't see nowadays machzorim like this. Our machzorim, we take them out every year, they're shining white, the pages are healthy and strong. So if you have a heart that's like stone, if you have a heart of stone, then what's the Shar HaMayim? What is the equivalent of the Shar HaMayim for our generation, who finds it almost impossible to cry unless it's over Chalila Hatzaras? But to cry over missing our father and mother, missing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling the embarrassment and shame of unfaithfulness, missing our brothers and sisters, feeling embarrassed and ashamed for hurting so many people's feelings. So I saw a chiddush. Guess what? Chiddush. I'm relying upon this because it was written by a great person. And I'm giving it over to you because I love you. Rabbi Shaul Salanter, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, in Or Yisrael, in the 30th parak, it's a long parak, there the Tzaddik, the one who opened up the world of Musa, there Rabbi Yisrael gives us tremendous, tremendous chizuk. How at our Madrega, we have a Pesach, we have an opening, that there's something that for us is the equivalent of the Shaar HaMayim. And he writes this sentence, Achasim Elocha Kala. Rabbi Yisrael already acknowledged that in his time, we're not holding by the Yisoy V'Sharish Avodah of that type of a Madrega, that level. So achasi melacha kala. So the Rabbi Yisrael says there's a melacha kala. There's a job, there's melacha, there's work that's relatively simple. Melacha kala. Eina dereshes deyat flula. It doesn't even require that the person have a clear mind and deep understanding. V'lo yizman oruch, and it doesn't even take a long time. Lachzer amusare achachomim kamapom ada shetis oiris pilus benafshel shaita. Rabbi Yisrael Shitoso says that Jews like us, during this time of the year, we can think about the teachings of Torah that relate to Rosh Hashanah, that relate to Tshuva. We can learn Shari Tshuva, Yisrael Shari Shavoida. We can learn the Svarim. We can spend the next few days looking at the Machzer, not waiting till Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Learning the Machzer every single day. It's a very practical thing. Not just learning it. Saying parts of the Machzer, going over it, over and over. Not just the Chazorim that they're practicing. That for a moment it can cause you to have some feeling of spilus. You could feel some awakening, some spilus. The gam imloy titain period reishon lahate darche gavin. Now listen to what he says of Yisrael. Even if in the beginning this doesn't affect you in such a way, to such a degree that you actually change your life, that you make practical changes immediately. B'chol zois b'sefer achayim yechoshev. B'chol zois, nevertheless, if you're a Jew that during this time of the year feels this awakening, feels the heart tugging, you can't cry. We're mamash like granite, we're stone. The machzorim are dry, the eyes are dry. But if the heart feels epis, a tremor. Rabbi Yisrael, and I trust him. Rabbi Yisrael says, "B'sefer achayim yechoshev." And don't ask me what's his makar. Where did he get this from? If you saw Salanter writes, the Sefer HaChayim Yechoshev, it means you are considered to be in the Book of Life. Be'ayosai, you know why? Be'ayosai Chai Margish. Because if you're alive and you still feel, you still feel it all these years and it hurts. It hurts what I saw this past year on the machine. It hurts. What I said this past year to my wife, to my children, to my friend, it hurts me.
I remember it and it hurts me. How careless I was with the Kedusha of Shabbos, with making brachas. But I'm not numb. I'm a chai margish, but I love it, and I feel it. Rabbi Saul says to bring oneself to espilus, to have that feeling to be chai margish, the sefer chai michoshe be yosei chai margish, l'kol asher, he brings a pasuk from Kehelis, l'kol asher yichubar alachayim, yesh bitachon. Listen, l'kol asher yichubar alachayim, if at least you're attached to the ventilator, to the life support, if you're still attached, l'kol asher yichubar alachayim, yesh bitachon is what to rely upon, is what to trust. Ubechlal oisei tshuva yimana. And Yitzchel says, Ubechlal oisei tshuva, that you are, if you are such a person, that you're chai margish. In other words, that you're mizboin and you stop this time of the year to think, to spend every day a few minutes thinking, reading, learning, thinking to the point that it brings you to hargosha of regret, of remorse, to a feeling of I want to be better. And if it doesn't come out from the eyes, at least there's a shifri kamayim libeich. So Gesol says that such a person, this hergish of being chai margish, is already considered to be by oisei tshuva yimana. He's already included among those who are oisei tshuva. And Rabbi Saul says, even if he doesn't know how yet to make this part of his life, Lamaisa, he hasn't figured it out. But he's mechuba l'chaim. He's alive. He's chai margish. And you remember, he says that the soyer is pilus and nefesh l'shaita. Even if it was for a little bit of time that he felt this way, and that feeling passed. But l'maisa, once a person is in this ghetto, he's already in a different chevra. He lives already in a different world. He's in a chevra of Jews that are alive. The kol hashe yichuba l'chaim yesh bitach. And the sefer chayin yikosef. And such a person can already be in our generation, in our times where we're holding, can already be. It's not an excuse not to change. Of course we all have to try to change and make ourselves better. But to be alive in our times when our brains and our hearts are being murdered and butchered and killed by everything that's around us, and that all that we're subjected to and that we see and that we hear, that if a Jew's able to be in our times, that he's able to feel that ache of a voxus of vives ima. What did I do to Hashem? What did I do to other Jews? That he's a chai margish. Then Rabbi Saul Salanta says, yesh bitachon. He's already a mechuba l'chai. He's already a lebedik yid. He's alive. He's awake. Leave me here. It might not show in my face here in my machzor. My pages are dry. But leave me here, but my heart is alive. My heart is still alive. Some time ago, my wife gave me a photostat from a book that she read. I don't remember the name, it doesn't say here, it didn't come out on the page. A woman who's describing her experiences back in Krakow before the war. And this is really, here I believe she captures what this moment that we're in right now is about. And all that we were just talking about. Now everybody here knows that when we lived in self-contained communities in Shtetlach and Kehilas, although Krakow was a big city, but when Jews lived
in their neighborhoods, in their places. You know, there was such a thing where the shamans used to go around in the morning of Slichas. My father's of the Zunzai remembers that. That the shamans used to go around in the villages, he used to go with a little hammer, knocking on the windows of Jews. When Slichas was not at 10 o'clock at night, and Slichas wasn't at 7 o'clock instead of 7:15 davening, when Slichas was by before the crack of dawn. So she's reminiscing, this woman from Krakow is reminiscing what it was like before the Holocaust. It is an old Jewish custom in Elul when the Jews arise early in the morning to say Slichas, that the Shamus arises long before dawn, circulates through the Jewish quarter, knocks on windows, kol daidi daifek, knocks on windows and shutters of Jewish homes, and rouses his congregants to rush to shul before daybreak to beg Hashem for atonement of their sins by reciting Slichas. And there was a nusach that these shamoshim, these holy Jews would say when they would go around giving little clap with a hammer on the windows, on the doors. The nusach, I'm sure, varied from one place to the other a little bit, but basically it went like this. Yidelach, yidelach, taira, kunshira, yidelach. There's no word in English for yidelach. Yidelach. And there's all of the love for Jews in it. Yidelach, Jews. Taira, precious kosher yidla, precious kosher Jews. Steit oiv zu avodas habayir. Steit oiv, stand up, arise from your sleep. Stand up to avodas habayir, to serve the Creator. Zvern the stern, shayn shvet zu gewinnen. The morning is going to be here soon. It's already getting hard to count the stars, to see the stars. The morning is coming. Stei oiv yidle, und nimm dein fiddle. Rise up and take your fiddle. It doesn't mean mamish the fiddle. Zu shachris gesang, go to sing the songs of shachris, to sing the songs of praise to the Ribbono Shel, to the master of the world. Hurry. She writes, the Jews in Krakow lived in tenements that were four or five stories tall. Therefore the Shamus could not knock on all the Jewish windows or shutters. So to rouse the Jews for Slichas, he could only sing loudly, clearly, and passionately, and this he did. For years I never heard the Shamus singing. She was a little girl. I had been fast asleep in those early hours. Once, however, I resolved to hear him. I set my alarm clock for 4 a.m. I answered its call, rushed to the bedroom window, and pressed my face to the pane. I saw the street below illuminated by tall gas lamps that cast a soft, pleasant, if dim light. The street was quiet. There was not a living soul in sight. I waited and waited. Then I saw him. A little old man with a long gray beard, carrying a big lantern to light his way in the poorly lit streets. I opened up the window, a cold breeze blew into the room, causing me to shiver. But the old man walked along steadily, his moving, melodious voice touching every fiber of the Jewish heart. Yidlach, taira, kashri, yidlach. Steit oiv, so avodas habayir. I will never forget his fervent voice, pleading, urging his fellow Jews to get up to serve, to worship their Maker. However, that's all that this is now. That Jew might have died before the Milchama, he might have been killed in the Milchama. And the streets of Krakow have some tourists that stop by. And a couple of Yidlach that somehow still go on living in that miserable place. But if we don't have that little tzaddik walking around with a hammer on the door, then kol doidi doifek, ani sheinav libi er. I am asleep, but my heart is still awake. And that's what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by coming to Slichas. We hear again at your gate, and our hearts are filled with tears. We're crying. We don't know why they don't come out from our eyes, but our hearts are crying. And we feel the voice of some shamus inside the heart saying, Yidlach, Tyra, Kosher, Yidlach. Are there more Tyra, the more precious Jews than the Jews of our generation? And all of us who are still trying to keep mitzvahs after all of these years, that we're still trying to learn, we still feel bad, we still come to Slichus, we still say Avinu Malkeinu, we still believe in Him, we don't run away from Him. Can we hear the sound of the shamas inside saying, Shtai oif! Shtai oif! Rise, arise, wake up! Taira kosher yidala! The Baruch Shalom saying to each and every one of us, precious, beloved, kosher yidala, my kosher Jews. The stars are fading, the night is ending of Galus, and soon it will be the morning of our Geula. And the Baruch Shalom is putting us through such nisyonis that they were never since Maaseh Bereishis, the kind of nisyonis of our generation. To remain Taira Kosher Yidlach. So the time has come for us to pick up our fiddlach, our fiddles, and to sing to the Creator of the world, and to fill our mouths with shears and tishbachos to the one who loves us and who we love, who hasn't forgotten us and who we haven't forgotten. What a time. You remember there was a huge Talmud Chacham, a Gaon Olam. I'm sure you remember the name of Reb Chaim Kreisworth, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Reb Chaim Kreisworth, Kol HaTorah Kula. You know, he was Raven of Antwerp, Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I used to travel a lot. I was zeichet to meet him on many occasions. Anything that you spoke to him about, whether it was Gemara, whether it was a Rishon, an Achron, a Chassidish Sefer, he would close his eyes and say the rest of the page. Reb Chaim Kreisworth told the following. He said that during the Milchama, there was a Jew who was about to be taken away to be killed. Something happened, and the Germans in Machshavim got this guy, and he was being taken away, and he had 30 seconds, he ran over to Reb Chaim, and he knew that Reb Chaim Kreisworth, he knew that Reb Chaim has a photographic memory. And he said, listen, Rebbe, I have a bank account, a big bank account in Switzerland. And he said where the bank is, and he said to Reb Chaim Kreisworth, this Yid said to Reb Chaim Kreisworth the account number, all the information, his number, the account number like this, and he said, Rebbe, remember the number. And if somehow after the Milchama you're able to meet any of my children, tell them that there's an Oysher that's waiting for them. And that's, he said this to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said that for 20 years he was looking for this Jew. They didn't have that time, computers, but for 20 years he was looking for this Jew. I mean, not for this Jew, for the children of this Jew. He was killed. He was looking for the children. And he checked and he was asking anybody from that town that he came from. He couldn't find anybody. So one day in one of his journeys, Reb Chaim Kreisworth was sitting someplace in the Medrash, and a Yid comes in, a beggar, comes in with torn everything, smelly, torn clothing. And Reb Chaim Kreisworth, Reb Chaim hears, he's talking to somebody, and he'd ask him, you know, like Jews talk, where does a Jew come from, what's your name? He says his name, and it was a little bit of a different name, and Reb Chaim Kreisworth hears this name. He calls him over and he gives him some money. He says, tell me a little bit about yourself and who are you and what was your father and so on. And the Yid starts to talk where he comes from, who his father was. He's a son of that Jew that was killed out, Kiddush Hashem. Reb Chaim Kreisworth says to him, listen, my friend, you're going to be buying yourself a new suit very soon. Because your father left you an oisha. Apparently, Reb Chaim says it was millions of dollars. And the Goyim didn't get to it somehow. I don't know how that happened. And Reb Chaim said that he went and became a big gvir in Baal Stok. But the upshot of the story, Reb Chaim said, is this. That's the mice that happened. Reb Chaim told him the accounts and all the information. It's 20 years. He told him everything. But the point of the story is this. The point of the story is that for 20 years this Jew was going around as a beggar, but he didn't know, he really didn't know Be'emes, Be'emes. He was a big usher. He was a millionaire. And he went around in such a way, not understanding who he was, not knowing what he himself has. And Reb Chaim said, it's an obligation for you and I not to be like that person. Meaning that when we come especially into this time of the year, we have the ability to draw out from our accounts, to draw out from Shemayim, such unbelievable hashpos of refuahs and yeshuas for Jews everywhere in the world, for our children. If we daven for our children, our grandchildren, that they should go in the right way, and they should have good and gashmis and arochnias. If we pour our hearts out, the Jews should stop arguing and fighting, and then that there should be peace, and that our enemies should destroy each other. And that every Jew should be saved here in Eretz Yisrael, wherever a Jew goes. It's mamish, their account is that we have an oisha that we could tap into. And oy, if we go through this month, this next month, oy vavoy, if we go like a schnur walking around not knowing what we could get, what we could accomplish. So Hashem Yisbarach should help each and every one of us. Each and every one of us to hear the knocking on the heart and stay oif, to stand up and to wake up finally. And to cry warm, warm Jewish tears inside, outside. So we can be zarecha bez Hashem. And finally, be standing by Shariach Yerushalayim mamish. Not as tourists, not with cameras, not asking whether we're allowed to go here or the Arabs are going to get upset that we're not allowed to go here. Is this going to cause a riot? It's not going to cause a riot. Going back to our city with our people. We should be zoichim as Hashem. That each and every one of us and all of Klai Yisrael should be nechtov and nechtovim b'sifrim shel tzaddikim b'sefer ha'chaim, to be chai v'kayim before the Rebbeinu Shalom, to greet David Melech chai v'kayim with the Gula Hashem v'amitish mehem yomeinu amen v'amen.